Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 452, Align and Let Him Fix in 2026. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, January 4th, 2026 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Wow, what a powerful worship time, right? When I'm going to share a vision that the Lord showed me, and that kind of goes with what Sister Elizabeth shared, and what we did, the prophetic act, I saw Jesus taking our sin, taking our stuff, taking the weight of things that we can't figure out on our own, and our sickness and our guilt and all of that. I saw him bent over. I don't know if it's at the point when he was carrying, like, when he was carrying the cross, but he's bent over like this and he's taking it. He's taking it all on his back. And so, like, as we were shaking it off, he's taking it. He's taking the cost, the weight of the punishment on himself for us. So if you did that and you released those things in your heart and you've released the people that you need to forgive and all of that, know that he's got it. And he's got the things, the questions that you carry in your heart, the things that you haven't been resolved, that you haven't seen breakthrough yet, the areas where you are still praying and pushing and contending, he's got it. And he takes it all on his back, and it's by his blood that it's sealed, that it is done. In the spirit, it is done because he has it. And so this message this morning is when I asked the Lord, what do you want to say to us as your people, as your body in this first Sunday of the year? I mean, it's special, right? Because it's the first Sunday that we're gathering together in the new year. We look forward. We're leaping into what's new and what God has for us. He's always doing new stuff. God is a fresh God. He's a right now, bring the hot bread out of the oven God, you know? And it's always exciting with him. I think of the sausage rolls. Okay, stay focused. We're coming off our fast today. Praise the Lord, can you tell? That'll be one maybe of many references to food throughout the message. Bear with me. I interrupt myself. I like distract myself. Okay, help me, Jesus. So, seriously, somebody tell me what I was talking about. Leaping into the, not chips and salsa. That's not helpful. Thought that would have come from my husband. leaping into the new year, right? What he has for us. There we go. I got it. Got it back. When I asked God for this first time together, what do you want to say to us? I felt like he said alignment. Align with me. We are his people. We are so loved by God of the universe, by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. He loves us so much, and he wants us to align, a genuine alignment with his heart, because that's how we receive anything from him. If we're off, if our thinking is off, if our speaking is off, if our whatever is off, we're not lined up. We're not positioned to receive from his heart. So we have to be aligned to him. He says, align to me, which means there's surrender involved in that. There's submission involved in that. There's humility involved in that. We all love those things, right? Praise the Lord. But the results are good because he can pour out to us when we're humbling ourselves to him, when we have a teachable heart to him. He can correct what needs to be corrected. We all love to be corrected, right? But let's align to his heart because, hey, really, I mean, I might not love it, but I've given my life to Jesus, and I want the Holy Spirit to correct me, because if I'm going off and if I'm veering off of the path, bring me back, Holy Spirit, because I want to go with what you say and with what you're doing. I don't want to be off the path, right? Amen. Do you all want to be on the path this year? Okay, so we're going to align. We're going to align to his heart. We're going to come into agreement with his word and with what his logos word, his written word. And then when he brings it alive to you as you're meditating, not if you meditate, as you meditate, as you study, as you read the word of God, he's going to bring it alive, a rhema word, his revelation alive in your heart. And then you follow. You simply follow the path, right? And so as we align ourselves to him in 2026, he will fix it. It rhymes. Fix six. Get it? Okay, it was a little hokey, my title, but the title is Align and Let Him Fix in 26. Let him fix all the things, all the problems, all the things that need to be resolved. But if we're not submitted to him, if we don't have a teachable heart, if we're not humble, if we're not surrendered to him, then he can't, we're going to miss stuff. He can't get it to us. But if we're on our knees, we're seeking his face, we're making him a priority at the start of the year, and then every day we carry that on, then we're not going to miss it. We're not going to miss him. He's going to speak to us, reveal to our hearts, align. Oh, that thinking's not quite right. Oh, that word's not quite right. You're not speaking life. You know, whatever it is in whatever areas of our lives, right? We've got to position ourselves and then let him do it. We do our part. God does his part. He does the heavy lifting. That's the picture of what I saw. It's all on his back. He does it, but we've got to let it go. We've got to cast our cares on him. We have to surrender to him. Praise the Lord. Consecration, surrender, submission, purity, a teachable heart, so that no matter what circumstances come your way and come my way in this year of 2026, we are able to be with him. If we're with him and we're staying in the shalom peace of God and we're staying in the love and the joy of the Holy Spirit, then we keep on walking. We're aligned with him and he speaks to us. When something comes up, when something comes our way and tries to get us off the path, you know, the wind and the waves, we stay steady. We stay following him, following his voice. Remember the discipleship pathway that we talk about? Who remembers that? The discipleship pathway? Here's a little visual. Right? Doobie, doobie, doo. I'm staying on the doobie, doobie, doo, singing with Jesus, staying on the path. The do and the be, the doobie, are that we have to be in Christ. We are in Christ, but are we staying in him? Are we following the Spirit? Those are the be's. And as we are engaging with the B, getting revelation from him about who I am, and there's different stages of this, of the do's, then the do's flow out of that. It's the action that I do because I am being in Christ. So like the first one, I won't go through this whole thing, but this is a review or just a little summary if you haven't heard this before. The first one is being convicted. So you get revelation, right? This is conviction to your heart, whether it's the first time about who Jesus is and receiving him as your Lord and Savior, or conviction about anything, you know, conviction of a sin. And then the do that flows out of that, the behavior, the action that flows out of that is repentance. It's a do. So that's the doobie doobie do. And so there's growth here. This is a chart of getting revelation in our heart and then acting it out. There's fruit shown in our lives when we do that. And this is all about submitting to him. This is all about surrender. It's about being teachable. It's about being humble so that we can stay on the path and grow and keep growing with him, following Jesus, right? A disciple is somebody who's following Jesus, who is being transformed by Jesus, which is a continual process until the day we go to meet him face to face. And it's disciple is the third part of the definition, is somebody who's on mission with Jesus. And that means we're called to not just follow Jesus, we're called to make other followers of Jesus. We're called to be disciple makers who make other disciples, right? And so as we stay on the path with the love, Shalom, peace of God, dooby-dooby-doo, here comes a wind. I'm staying aligned with him. I'm allowing him to bring revelation to my heart that I need to keep me steady so I don't get blown off the path, so that I can continue in the body, continue in the word, continue walking, following Jesus with our eyes fixed on him, no matter what comes our way. Praise the Lord. So in this year, we're going to come into alignment with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It says in the Old Testament, Isaiah 45, it says, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. Or some versions say the crooked path straight. Isn't that great? Don't we all want that? We have some crooked paths in our lives that we need ironed out, that we need straightened out by the Holy Spirit. Well, he's an expert. He's an expert ironer. Who loves to iron? I don't like to iron. Steamer. Who's a steamer? Steamer. That's the way to go. But the Holy Spirit, he will do it. He will iron those crooked places out. He will make our path straight, so that we can continue on in the purpose that he has for us as a follower of Jesus, as a disciple who makes disciples. And so, you know, as we studied the book of 2 Peter these last few weeks in December with our cell groups, we had some really rich discussions between the two groups that I am a part of. And you know, Peter is talking to the church in the letter, and he, at the end of his ministry, because he knows his time is just about done, and he is giving a strong warning to the people in the church about false teachers, about false prophets in the church, to the church, you know, that are people that are coming in or a part of the church that are teaching wrong things, wrong doctrine. And it says in 2 Peter 2, verse 15, well, he's referring to these ungodly false teachers in the church who have, he says, quote, have wandered off the right road. That got my attention, because I'm always thinking about this road that we're on, this discipleship pathway that we're on. And these false teachers, they were at one time on the right road, but they wandered off. How does that happen? They wandered off the right road and followed the footsteps of Balaam, son of Beor, who lived to earn money by wrongdoing. Now, the story of Balaam is in the Old Testament, and you can read about that. First Kings, right? I think. First Kings. And so you can read about that story. But basically, you know, oh my gosh, what happened that these people in the church that are teaching and speaking, they were once on the right path and they wandered off. It doesn't happen all of a sudden, usually overnight, but it's like a little bit, something catches, we'll say their or our attention. And the, you know, we get these thoughts and we meditate on thoughts. Are we aligning to him? Are we aligning to his word? We shouldn't be lured away. Don't be lured off the path. This is my heart for this message this year, because, gosh, there's so many things that can catch our attention, tickle our fancy. Ooh, that's glittery over there. Everything, sorry, Leah, but everything that glitters ain't gold. And I know that's not proper English, but you know, stay with Christ, stay with Jesus. Don't be lured off the path. Don't be lured away. 2 Peter 3, he's saying this to the church. He's showing his affection by calling them dear friends. He says, you already know these things, dear friends. And he's referring to the things that he's been saying all along in the letter, because this is the last chapter of the letter. You already know these things, dear friends, so be on guard. Be on guard. alert, be on guard, right? Then you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. I want secure footing on the path following Jesus. I'm not going to be lured away, right? I'm going to be on guard. I'm going to be seeking Jesus, being aligned to him, being surrendered to him, so that some wrong teaching, I turn on YouTube and somebody's talking about something, or somebody comes to visit, or wherever you are, somebody saying something, and you're like, you know, we need discernment. We need discernment of the Holy Spirit. Is that true? Is that real what they're saying? Go to the Word. Think of dear Sister Cheryl. What does the Word say? What does the Word say? Don't get lured off the path by some grandiose new idea. What does the Word say? If anyone is speaking something that doesn't line up to the Word, you stick with the Word. You stay on the path. Don't be lured off. Did I read the verse? I don't think I did. Well, I stopped. I think I started preaching in the middle of it, right? So 2 Peter 3:17 and 18. You will not be carried away. Let's just read the whole thing again. I'm not sure where I stopped. I stopped after 17. We're gonna read it again. You already know these things, dear friends, so be on guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Rather, instead of losing your secure footing, you must grow. Everybody say grow.
Grow
in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forevermore. Amen. We're going to grow in his grace. That is one of my prayers and goals this year, to grow in his grace. I'm praying for a revelation of the grace of Jesus Christ in my heart and in my life. And I suggest you do the same. And knowledge of our Lord in Jesus Christ. This isn't just head knowledge. We want what's in our head and what, oh yeah, I know Jesus loves me. But do you really know that? Do you really have that rhema revelation alive in your heart? That's the kind of knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you really know that he took all of your sin and your sickness on the cross? Do you really have that alive in you? Is that word abiding in you, that he has done it, that he is your healer, or whatever truth we're talking about? Is it? Do you really have that knowledge, that experience with him, that through relationship, not just, oh yeah, I know that, like mental assent, right? Because we can know a lot of things, or I can read the whole Bible cover to cover, but that doesn't mean I know it, that I experience with it and have a revelation of that, and that I'm walking in that in my life. So, how do we do this? How do we really stay on the path and not get lured off? Because there's so many things, right? Roots. And I think we preached this, I don't know, sometime in 2025, or maybe it was the year before in 2024, about the different roots. We did a series about the roots. Roots in Jesus, roots in the Word, roots in church. And I'm coming back to it today because it's just so good. That's how we stay grounded. We stay rooted and grounded, like it says in Ephesians. We stay rooted and grounded in him. We stay on the path. Doobie, doobie, do. Okay, so roots in Jesus. Let's break this down a little bit. Roots in Jesus. Prioritize Jesus. Prioritize his person. I loved how we sang, just forget about yourself and focus on him. Concentrate on him. We prioritize Jesus this year. Matthew 6:33, and I know Sister Elizabeth recently preached a message a few weeks ago with this similar idea of prioritizing Jesus. And I believe you use this verse as well. It's so good. Seek, this is Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Above all else. And live righteously. That means in right standing with God. Are we perfect? No. But we're looking at Jesus. He's our model. And he will give you everything you need. So let's start this new year. Prayer and fasting time is a perfect opportunity to really enter in. You get your flesh in submission. The flesh doesn't have the say. It's not ruling the ship, so to speak. Seeking the kingdom of God, seeking Jesus, roots in him, in who he is, in all that he is. Praise the Lord. Roots in the word. Gosh, where would we be without the word of God? It is our life. It is life and healing to all of our flesh. It is the spirit of, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. This is the sword of the spirit, right? It's so powerful. We need to submit to this. We need to not just be like buffet style with the word, pick and choose what I want and what I don't want. But if there's something that challenges you, if there's something that you don't understand, go back to the roots in Jesus. Seek Jesus with this. I don't understand this, or I don't know how to put this into practice in my life. I don't get this, or I don't, whatever. Jesus is the word, and he will help us. Yes, it's him. It's his truth. And so submit to us, or we submit to him, we submit to Jesus, and we will stay on the right path. So roots in Jesus, roots in the word, roots in church. Stay in the body. Stay together. What's the saying that says the first banana that leaves the bunch is the first one to get skinned, the first one to get peeled? Don't be. I'm looking at all you bananas out here. Don't leave the bunch. You know, I mean, we can laugh about this, but my heart, that I look around and there's seats where there used to be people with us that have left the bunch, and they've gotten peeled, they've gotten skinned, they've gotten hurt because they got some idea, they got off the path somehow. And it saddens me. I want to see all you bananas here next year. I want us to be together in the bunch. We got to stay together like the big redwood trees in California, that their roots, you know, you see the pictures and they're all close together. Their roots go deep, because if each one, when it's planted, the roots, like us, the roots, our roots are in Jesus, our roots are in the word, and then together our roots entwine in each other. And so when I'm feeling a little, whoa, the wind is hitting me, I'm the tree over here on the left, the root from my sister and my brother over here around me, it steadies me, it stabilizes me. We need each other. Don't leave the bunch. Praise the Lord. Hang in there. Be a part of what is happening, whether this is your home church or if you're listening and on social media and you go to another home church, wherever you are a part, wherever God has planted you, get planted there. Find out the vision of the house and run with it. Stay on the path. Be a part. Contribute your piece, because you each have a piece that is important to contribute. We need each other. You guys have stuff that I don't have, each one. And I have maybe something that you could benefit from. And each one like that, like in the cell groups, if you take like a breakdown, you know, those that are here or come to the Sunday service in cell groups, it's like that. Each one, when you miss cell group, your group is missing out on what you have to bring or what you can contribute. You know, we should have this mindset of not just, like Pastor says, Give me, my name is Jimmy, like be a consumerist when we come to church. But what do I have to bring to the table? I want to be a giver as well as receive, right? I want to give out to my brothers and sisters. I want to speak truth. I want to speak life. I want to say something. Maybe I'm telling a testimony and I don't know that I'm lifting somebody up, but through that I am. And somebody else is getting encouraged. So we need each other, and we need to stay in the body. Run with the vision, contribute your piece. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to, we're going to read through Proverbs 3. This is the other main passage of scripture that the Lord gave me to kind of go along with this message. After Isaiah. No, sorry, before Isaiah, after Proverbs. Right? Did I have it marked? I don't really need to turn to it because I have it on the paper. Praise the Lord. I'm just hearing you guys all flipping, so I'm okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. That's my son with his brand new fancy boys Bible. It's really awesome. Praise the Lord. Grossology sections are very interesting. Praise the Lord. And he decided that even though I'm not a boy, that I'm allowed to read it because I'm usually the reader at Bible time at night. And so I'm allowed in on this boys' Bible stuff. So, okay. So it's a privilege. Praise the Lord. Teach your child in the way he should go and he will not depart from it. Praise the Lord. Okay. So Proverbs 3. My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. And I'm going to just kind of go, I'll just read a verse at a time, and the Holy Spirit is, stopping me at different points here to comment. So a lot of this Proverbs, I noticed, it's an instruction. Like he's telling us something. The Lord is giving us an instruction. And then the verses after that, some of them are a promise or God's response. If we do this or when we do this, this is what will happen. And it's all very positive and it's good. So he's saying here, my child, never forget the things I have taught you. In other words, remember, to say it in the positive form, remember the things I have taught you. Keep those words that he has spoken to you, your experience with him, his word in your heart. That speaks to me about roots in the word, certainly. Store the commands, right? The commands of the Lord, the things that are written in here and the personal revelation that you have had. Store that, keep that in your heart. That's roots in the word. And I believe as well, roots in Jesus, right? Because you're fellowshipping with him through the word because Jesus is the word. So remember and store them up in your heart. Remember, we're talking all about all of this relates to staying aligned or being aligned with Jesus so that we don't fall off the path. So then here comes the condition or the promise. If you do this, meaning remember the things that he has taught you and store those things in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years. Who wants to live many years? Then keep his commands in your heart, stored up like treasures in your heart. And then it says your life will be satisfying. That's a good result. Praise the Lord. I want a satisfying life. Verse 3, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Oh, I missed the opportunity for a good illustration here. I needed a necktie and tie it around like kindness and loyalty. That speaks of the roots in Jesus, right? That's part of his character. That's part of the nature of the Lord. His loyalty to you, his faithfulness to you. He will not leave you or forsake you, right? His kindness. God is love, right? And love is kind. That's how it expresses itself. That's how God expresses himself. So it's saying for us to do our part, never let go of loyalty and kindness. Stay in that flow of being faithful like he is faithful. Being kind to others like he is kind to you. And then it says, tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Verse 4, then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Finding favor with God and people, that's a good thing. Praise the Lord. Verse 5, one of my favorites, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Roots in Jesus. Do you really trust him? Do you really trust that he's your healer? Do you really trust that he's your savior? Do you really trust that he's your provider? Do you really trust that he's your teacher, whatever. You know, whatever, any of the parts of who he is, his attributes. Do you really trust him? Because it says, this is a command, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend or do not lean on your own understanding. We can lean on a lot of things. We can lean on other people's opinions and what they think of us. We can lean on what the news media says. We can lean on, I don't know, the up and down of the stock market. We can lean on so many things. But are you really leaning on him? Are you really trusting him? Have you surrendered to him fully in different areas where he's challenging you to for this year? I always remember Pastor from Terre Haute, Keith Taylor came and he taught about, do you remember this? He taught about this verse that do not depend on your own understanding. And I believe it's the Hebrew, if I'm not mistaken, the bana. He said the bana. You remember this teaching, those of you that were here a few years back? Do not lean on your own bana, your own framework, your own mindset. And this is so much how we get off track, isn't it? We get lured by, oh, we have this idea, and it begins to become a stronghold if it's not the word, if it's not right, because it gets strengthened as we believe in that, and that becomes our truth. Well, what does the word say? Right? Don't lean on your own understanding, your own logic, or how it appears to you, the information that your five senses takes in. Lean on the Spirit of God. Lean on Jesus. Lean on his word, and you will stay on the straight and narrow. And that's what we need to do. That's what we want to do. Praise the Lord. 6, this will help us. Seek his will in all you do. This is roots in Jesus. Seek him. Seek his will. What do you want me to do, God? Do I go left? Do I go right? Do I go A? Do I go to B? And he will show you which path to take. Okay, you say B, I'm going B. Praise the Lord. Now turn to A. Okay, then I go that way. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My son wants to help me preach. Excellent. Praise the Lord. He will show us which path to take. And I believe he also shows us through his word which path to take. Roots in Jesus, those two verses, or those two lines, verse 6, speaks to me. Roots in Jesus, roots in the word. Okay, 7, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Yikes. Pride, right? Let it go. Don't lean on your own bana, your own understanding. Don't be impressed. Oh, that was really good. That was a really good thought, Sarah. Pat ourselves on the back, right? Our own ego. Instead, fear the Lord. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm scared, like scared of the dark and I have to cover. No, awe and trembling because I honor and I respect. We need to walk this year, a fresh year of fear of the Lord. Let him take us higher in respecting him and honoring him, fearing the Lord and turning away then from evil. That's behind me. Jesus took care of that, right? And I go forward. I go with Jesus, roots in Jesus. Then you will have healing for your body. Praise the Lord. Who's believing for a healing? Okay, so what was it? Yeah, I need to not be impressed with my own wisdom. I need to, just reviewing 7, because verse 8 says, then you will have, right? Wait, I need a refresher. What? How do I have that? How do I get that healing in my body? Not be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead of that, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Praise the Lord. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. He will strengthen us as we align to him, as we turn away, as we repent and we turn to him. Verse 9, excuse me, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. We had an opportunity to do that today with our first fruits, with our tithes, with our giving, honoring him with everything. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Praise the Lord. That's his promise. Fill up your barn. Honor the Lord with what you have, with what you receive, and he will fill your barn to overflowing. That's your storehouse. That's where you keep things. Praise the Lord. My child, verse 11, don't reject the Lord's discipline. And don't be upset when he corrects you. Ooh, back to the correction thing. Roots in Jesus, roots in the Word. We get corrected by the Spirit of God, Jesus, right? And also the Word corrects us. Who's been corrected by the Word? Mm-hmm. Lots. Straightens us out, right? It'll keep us on the straight and narrow path. Don't reject the Lord's discipline. Don't be upset when he corrects you. And everyone loves this. Sometimes correction comes from the Lord to your life through a person, through, I don't know, your cell group leader, through somebody up here speaking something, through somebody that you have given permission and authority in your life to speak to, you know, speak into your life. We all love that, right? Sister Sandpaper. I had a lot of Sister Sandpapers, disciple makers, when I was a missionary in Argentina. And sometimes I remember a few times going away mad. Who does she think she is saying that to me? And when I actually got with the Lord and humbled myself, he's like, you should listen to her. She's trying to help you. She said that out of love because you're hitting your head against a wall with whatever issue it was, right? And sometimes it's hard to take correction from people. I think it's easier to receive the correction from the Holy Spirit. But God speaks through people that you've given authority to, or people that are speaking the word and speaking truth. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Don't reject the Lord's discipline in whatever way it comes. You know that it's the Lord speaking to you, and perhaps through a person, then receive that from the Lord. Humble yourself. Surrender. Verse 12, it says, for the Lord corrects those he loves. Right? If my child's doing something that's going to hurt himself, I'm going to correct him. I'm going to say, no, don't touch that. Don't. He's getting into cooking. He's doing a lot of cooking. A lot of supervision is involved. He's about to go, no, don't touch that. That's really hot. That handle heats up, you know, whatever. I love him, so I'm going to correct him. I'm going to say, don't touch that. Don't do that. Right? God does that because he loves us so much. Just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. 13, joyful is the person who finds wisdom. This whole next section is about wisdom. The one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left. She will guide you down delightful paths. We're talking about the path, staying, aligning to him and staying on the path, right? She, meaning wisdom, will guide you down a delightful path. All her ways are satisfying. I want to stay on the delightful path. I want to be in that way where it's satisfying to be on that right path. And wisdom is the way to do that. Wisdom, verse 18, is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. Need some joy in your life? Get some wisdom. Seek wisdom. And the Bible says those who seek wisdom, he will give it. He will pour it out generously. 19, by wisdom, the Lord founded the earth. By understanding, he created the heavens. By his knowledge, the deep fountains of the earth burst forth and the dew settles beneath the night sky. My child, verse 21, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. This is good. Sometimes we need a big dose of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them. For they will refresh your soul. They're like jewels on a necklace. That's for all the sisters that like bling bling. Praise the Lord. Roots in Jesus, that is, right? And roots in the Word of being grounded in his wisdom. The wisdom comes from his Word, and it's embedded in who he is, who the Lord is. Don't lose sense. sight of common sense. Sometimes we can get really, you know, being spiritual is a good thing, but we can lose like our feet grounded on the ground. You know what I'm saying? We can lose some common sense and discernment. We need that discernment from the Holy Spirit so we don't get blown off the path. Where did I stop? Verse 23, they keep you safe on your way, and your feet will not stumble. You can go to bed without fear. You will lie down and sleep soundly. You need not be afraid of sudden disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked. For the Lord is your security. When you're aligning to Him, you're surrendering to Him, and you allow Him to fix things that are off, then, and you're grounding yourself in wisdom, then He truly is your security. You can sleep, rest secure at night. He is your security. Roots in Jesus once again. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 27, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to help them. This speaks to me of relationship. This speaks to me about roots in church, right? If you have something, and you have something, you guys out there in pajama land, you have something, come when you can and give, contribute what you have. Give what's in your power to help a person. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say, come back tomorrow and then I'll help you. Stay together. Bring what you have. Be generous. Reach out. Take a step. Verse 29, don't plot harm against your neighbor, for those who live nearby trust you. You are of influence. People watch you, your neighbors, people at work. This is, again, about relationship, roots in the church. Don't pick a fight without reason. That's really good advice. When no one has done you harm. And if you feel they have and you're picking a fight, like we said before many times, kind of a theme is forgive. Let the offense go. Let it go. I have a really good book that I've been reading through. If anyone wants a title of a reference of a good book about forgiveness, it is excellent by Rodney Hoag. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Come talk to me or I can send you, you know, the information about it. It's really good and it shows you, and he just expresses things in a different way about forgiveness and really talks about the root of bitterness and how that grows and how to break that down, how to break that stronghold down, how to release those things. And it's just excellent. So do that. Let the offense go. 31, don't envy violent people or copy their ways. Such wicked people are detestable to the Lord, but He offers His friendship to the godly. The Lord curses the house of the wicked, but He blesses the home of the upright. Align, align, align. We're going to align ourselves and let Him fix. In 26. Okay, verse 34. The Lord mocks the mockers, but is gracious to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools are put to shame. We made it through the Proverbs 3. Praise the Lord. One other thing that I want to share, and then we will close, is just this of sometimes we have unresolved things in our hearts. And we may not even realize that we have something like that, but it's going to be a hindrance to us. Let the Holy Spirit show you. Maybe He's, you know, as I've been talking, He's brought your attention to something, because sometimes we think that it's an external problem. And so, oh, the solution is, because I get this thought, the solution is I'm moving churches because this, that, and the other thing, or somebody looked at me wrong, or I took offense to something. I'm going to move churches. or I'm going to move job to get a different job because I can't deal with these coworkers because there's people, you know, all this stuff. And you know what? We go and we move on. I'm just sharing my heart here and being real. We move on and only to find the same issue. Because guess what? It's in my heart. There's something going on in my heart, and it'll resurface again and again and again. And I share this so that we can get fixed in 26. Let him work on your heart, church, because I want to see you all bananas staying in the bunch, right? And staying together with us. When I was thinking about this, I thought about this. Have you ever heard this verse in Amos? We're going to just go to Amos for a moment, because I think there's so much, there's just a lot, just wisdom here. Let me tell you a little bit the context of Amos. Amos 5 specifically. Amos is a prophet, right, of the Old Testament, one of the minor prophets. And he is, in this book, you know, sharing his prophecies, what God spoke to him to speak to the people. And he is specifically in Amos 5, he's lamenting. He's sorrowful for the state that Israel is in, because you guessed it, once again, the people of Israel went off the path. They're dabbling in idols, idolatry. They're not aligned to God, right? And he's giving them an exhortation, which is a nice, encouraging kick in the pants to repentance, to get back in alignment. And so let's look at these two verses here, Amos 5, 18 and 19. It says, "What sorrow awaits you who say, 'If only the days of the Lord were here.' You have no idea what you are wishing for. That day will bring darkness, not light. In that day, you will be like a man who runs from a lion only to meet a bear. Escaping from the bear, he leans his hand against a wall in his house, and then he's bitten by a snake." Not the flag of Israel. "Against the wall, and then he's bitten by a snake. O sea, we say in Spanish. In other words, okay, the Israelites, it's kind of ironic that these people, they're wishing for the day of the Lord, but they weren't right with God. And so Amos is saying, you don't know what you're wishing for. That would be bad for you if the Lord came and you're not right with God. You're not aligned to God. And so, you know, you try to escape one calamity. What was the first one that was mentioned? Is it the lion first? Yeah. You say you flee from a lion, and then the bear comes, right? And then you're trying to escape one calamity. The other one comes, and it's still there. You fall into another. Then you run into safety in your home. Like, finally, I'm here. The lion and the bear, I've escaped them. Oh, I'm just going to rest a minute. And the snake comes out of the wall and bites me. Well, snakes hide in cracks, don't they? They hide in little cracks, like in our heart. And it's something, like, there's supposed to be safety in my house. In my house, there's supposed to be safety in here. But this is, are you understanding the metaphor here? Like, we hop churches, we hop places changing. Oh, I escaped the lion, I escaped the bear. But it's here sometimes. It's here. We need to let the Holy Spirit, as we're aligning to him, as we're positioning ourselves, seeking his face at the start of the year, saying, examine my heart. Show me if there's anything in there that's not right, that I'm not aligned to you, and fix it. Help me fix it. Show me what it is so I can do my part, Lord, to fix it. Because I don't want to be, nobody wants to be bitten by the snake in your own house. In your own house, your heart, right? And things creep up and we think it's everyone else, and we point fingers at everyone else. Well, it's my job. It's the workplace. It's this, it's that. Maybe it's in here, some internal things. So let's run to Jesus instead of running and trying to escape from the externals. Run to Jesus and say, help. You're my Lord. You're my safety. You're my Savior. You can help me, and only you. So I'm going to close with this encouragement. I've been praying this a lot in these first few days of the year here, Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. I pray from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Who can say amen to that? Amen. I mean, that is awesome. You need some encouragement to pray. Pray that. Pray that over yourselves. I'm praying that for all of you. Praise the Lord. So roots in Jesus, roots in the Word, roots in the church. Let's align to him. Stay on the path because he's got work for us to do. He wants to grow us up so that we can bring others along with us, that we can make disciples. That's what we're supposed to be doing, right? Not just, I'm sitting in church and kumbaya, my Lord. Make disciple while you sing kumbaya and teach it to them, right? And so they can teach it to the next one. We'll all be singing kumbaya, little happy bananas together. Praise the Lord. Praise God. All right. Why don't you stand for a moment? Let's pray. You've been sitting for a while, and we're going to go into our communion message. Thank you, Father. Oh, God, we align our hearts to you. We surrender and submit ourselves to you. Help us, God. Oh, we need you, Jesus. We want to place our roots in you, Jesus. Roots in the Word and roots in church. It will help us stay strong and stay healthy, stay active, stay victorious, walking in that victory that you already paid the price for us. But God, we can choose to stay with you, stay walking in the Spirit, or stay walking in the flesh. And we choose you today. We align ourselves. We position ourselves for you to correct us, for you to help us, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for ministering to each heart and life, and that we can truly put you first as a priority, God, every day. And I thank you for speaking to your people so that we can, you can iron out the crooked paths, God, to make us straight, keep on the straight and narrow path with you, following Jesus, walking in your victory. We thank you for that, God. We thank you for your word today. We love you, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.